If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me once again to the book of Ruth. Chuck notified me that last week's sermon was, there was not a recording for it, which is distinctly possibly due to the fact that I may not have turned on the microphone. So I told Chuck, I'll just preach it again this morning. Alas, I will not. Ruth chapter 1, and we will pick up today in verse 8, asking the question, which way to turn? Which way to turn? Let me read the text this morning. Hear the word of God. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters. For it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Father, help us now by your Spirit to learn from this account, to see how we can determine which way to turn, to see the principle, the pattern of life in the covenant that you show us here. Help us now to hear well and to learn. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I picked up in verse 8. We left the three ladies last week, if you recall, Naomi and Ruth and Orpah. Naomi, the mother-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, her two daughters-in-law who had lost their husbands. We left them in Moab last week. They had heard that the Lord had visited his people in Judah and provided food for them. Which, if you'll recall, that's why they left in the first place, was because of a famine. And so now we have the three of them returning to Bethlehem because they've heard that there's food there. So they're leaving Moab, heading back to Bethlehem. And as you heard, and we'll look at this morning, the daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, want to go with Naomi back to Naomi's land. But Naomi does not want them to go with her. And that will provide the tension in this account. And that provides the question that I posed, which way to turn? Naomi and Orpah, like many of us just in life, are faced with decisions. And how do we know which way to turn? That's what Orpah and Ruth are going to have to deal with. And in fact, the key question, if you drop down to verse 11, here's the key question in this segment of the book of Ruth, where Naomi asks these daughters-in-law, why will you go with me? Why? So you've heard it already, and you may know the account. She's doing everything she can to keep these two women from going with her. And the question she asked them is, why will you go with me? What is the reason why you would go with me? And I think that is the key that we will find as we look at this text this morning. And so I want to just walk through this, our structure this morning. I've tried to put some alliteration to it just to make it more memorable. But I just want to follow the dialogue as it goes back and forth. So we're going to hear from Naomi. We never actually hear from Orpah, but we do hear from Ruth. And so that's the structure, if you're taking notes or writing things down, that I want to use just to walk through this text this morning. And so we'll start first with Naomi commands. Naomi commands. And this is in verses 8 and 9. So as they are preparing to leave, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. So Naomi commands these two girls, these two women. I just don't want to say daughters-in-law a dozen times this morning, so it may come out girls, it may come out women. But Naomi commands them to go back. Naomi is not open to these two coming with her. And that's throughout this account that we're going to see. She is going to do everything she can to keep them in Moab instead of going back to Judah with her. And notice, I want to draw your attention to a word, and it is just replete in this section, where the beginning of Naomi's quote, she says, go return each of you to her mother's house. Now, this word return, I think, is in this section of Scripture some 12 times, if I'm not mistaken. So the author is making a point for us, isn't he? And this word return can mean two different things. It can mean someone physically turns back and goes where they came from, to return. But this word is also often used to speak of a spiritual change, much like the word repentance, where there is a returning within someone spiritually. And I think as we look at this word this morning, you'll see the author wants us to pick up on that implication. But Naomi, in the context here, she is simply telling these two women, go back to Moab. Return, each of you, to her mother's house. No one really seems to really know what the practice was in Moab when your husband had died, but it appears from what Naomi says, it would have been a common practice for them just to return. They wouldn't have been left single. They would have returned to their family's home. And that's what she's trying to get them to do, to return to their mother's house. Now, Naomi's not being mean-spirited toward them. In fact, she really kind of blesses them, doesn't she? You see, may the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me, and maybe even with Elimelech. And then she goes on, the Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of your husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. So I don't want you to misunderstand. Naomi is, she's not being mean-spirited. at least not intentionally. There's a sense in which she is blessing them, but she is very clearly saying, go back to Moab. Why will you go with me? We'll see that in a minute. But we get a hint here, and it's expanded on more. I think we get a hint of why Naomi is so adamant that they go back to Moab. And it's right at the end of that quote. She says, the Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Now we'll see more about that in a moment. But I think the author is giving us a little hint as to why. Because we have to ask, why is Naomi so adamant that they will not come with her? I mean, it could be something that she doesn't want to support them, or she feels she can't. But what is it that is going on with Naomi that she is commanding these two women to stay there? That's her command. And then we move in the dialogue from Naomi commands to the girl's counter. The girl's counter. Simply in verse 10. And they, this is Orpah and Ruth, said to her, Naomi, no, we will return with you to your people. So Naomi is trying to get rid of him, but Ruth and Orpah are not having it. They say to Naomi, no, we will return. There's that word again. We will return with you to your people. Now, so that you can see how this word is variously used, had Ruth or Orpah ever been a part of Naomi's people in Bethlehem, Judah? No, they were Moabites. So you can see the way the author is using this. This is not return in the sense that they're going back somewhere they had been. There is an idea here of a spiritual turn, of some sort of a change. That's the way the author is using the word. And he gives us another hint when the ladies, the girls, the women, say to Naomi, we will return with you to your people. And again, this will come out momentarily when the emphasis shifts to Naomi's people. But it's almost as if Ruth and Orpah here in their counter to Naomi, because remember, Naomi said, you can go back to your mother's house, right? You saw that back in verse 8, return each of you to your mother's house. And it's almost as if Ruth and Orpah are saying, no, we're not going back to our mother's house. You are now our people. And we are going with you to be with your people. So they are not going easily away from Naomi, even though Naomi is pushing them with everything she has to get them to go back to Moab. They counter Naomi's command. So what does Naomi do? This is a good place for a mother-in-law joke, I guess. A good mother-in-law does, she just commands again. And so we come now to in verses 11 through 13, Naomi's not giving up either. So you get this tension between these three women of Naomi is pushing them to go back, and these two women are pushing against Naomi, saying, no, we're going with you. This is the tension. And so Naomi doesn't give in either. So in 11 through 13, Naomi commands again. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Here's the question. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Now notice again, it's the ESV translates it a little differently, but you see the word again. Only here it's translated, turn back. Do you see that in verse 11? Naomi said, turn back. And then down in verse 12, she says it again, turn back. The author just keeps bringing this word so that we get it. She is trying to get them to turn one way, and they are trying to turn the other way. And this is the tension. What do you do? If you are Ruth, or if you are Orpah, what do you do? You have married into this Jewish family. Your father-in-law has died. Your husband has died. Your brother-in-law has died, wherever side you're on, and this is all you have left. You are committed to this woman who is your mother-in-law. You've left your family, and now this woman who is your mother-in-law is pushing you away to go back. This is the tension. And Naomi asked that question, why will you go with me? What would be your reason, Ruth or Orpah, to go with me? And then we see, I told you, you get that little bit of a hint early on about husbands. Well, here you start to see more. So we get to see Naomi's heart by what Naomi says. And Naomi, as a Jew, is speaking here of levirate marriage. And you know this, you've heard this before, where a brother, under the old covenant law, is, if his brother dies, the brother is to take his sister-in-law and propagate his brother's name. You see this in Genesis and in other places. Obviously, it's going to feature prominently here. But it's called levirate marriage. And that's what Naomi has in mind as a Jewish person. And that's why she says, you know, if I had sons, even right now, would you wait on them? I mean, and that's her whole point, is there's no reason for you to go with me because I don't have sons for you to marry. Because that would be the Jewish way. Because Mahlon and Chilion had died, then Elimelech and Naomi, if they had other sons, those sons would be required to take Ruth and Orpah and marry them and carry on the line. And Naomi's whole point is, I'm old. I don't have any more sons. I don't even have a husband. And even if I had a husband and I were able to conceive tonight, these two women are probably at least in their 20s. Are you going to wait another 20 years? You're not going to wait to marry that long. Then you wouldn't be able to have children. This is Naomi's whole argument to these two ladies. Why would you go with me? There is no reason for you to go back with me because I can't provide you husbands. This is Naomi's next attempt, if you will, at commanding these two women to go back to Moab. I can't provide you a husband. And if I can't provide you a husband, then there's no reason for you to go back with me. Why will you go back with me? So that's the second command that Naomi brings. And then we come to verse 14. And just to keep the alliteration going, Orpah concedes. Orpah concedes. So in verse 14, we read this. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. This is probably all three of them weeping because of the relationship. They lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So Naomi lays out her structured argument for Orpah and for Ruth. She gives them all the reasons, doesn't she? Listen, you two need to understand, I can't give you a husband. There's no reason for you to come with me. I'm old and I don't have any sons to give you. So she lays out that whole argument of the reasons why they should not go with her. And Orpah is convinced. Orpah's convinced. Orpah listens to Naomi's logic, her logical reasoning, and says, you know what? You're right, Naomi. I need a husband. I need some type of provision. Again, in this culture, that would be the case. And you're right. You can't provide it for me. You don't have any sons. You don't have a husband. There is no reason for me to go back to Bethlehem with you. There's no reason for me to go to Judah because you can't provide me a husband. So Orpah concedes. She takes the reasoning and the logic that is brought to her by Naomi, and she says, you know what? You're right, Naomi. I love you. I'm weeping, kissing you, but I'm going back to Moab. She concedes. But Ruth does not. You see that right there in verse 14, right at the end. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So even with all that reasoning and all that logic, Ruth says, no, I am clinging to Naomi. And remember, this is the question that Naomi is bringing. Why will you go with me? So Orpah leaves. Ruth remains. So what does Naomi do at this point? I changed the term here. Naomi makes her case. So Naomi is not commanding now in verse 15, but Naomi is trying to make a case for Ruth to leave. And here's her case in verse 15. And she said, this is Naomi speaking to Ruth. See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. So there is, you see the word again? Return. It just keeps coming up again and again and again. This idea of turning, returning. So, but here, even though Naomi does make a command, she gives her the command to return. She argues this two-pronged argument with Ruth to try to get Ruth to not go with her. To try to get Ruth to see there's no reason to go with Naomi. And her two-pronged attack is this. Number one, it's just as old as the fall, it's peer pressure. I mean, that's what she, and she said, see, your sister-in-law has gone back. Return after your sister-in-law. This is what Naomi has resorted to. Ruth is not being persuaded at this point. And Naomi is running out of arguments. I mean, she already put her best hand on the table of, I can't give you a husband. And now she's just resorting to absolute peer pressure. Look, your sister-in-law left. Just go with her. Go with the crowd. Do what she's doing. You guys are closer in age. You'll have better fellowship anyway. That's like one of the common things that I just love hearing in church. They're like 5 years older than me. We can't really hang out. Really? That's interesting. So Naomi, you know, I'm old. You don't want to hang out with me. You need to go. You guys can husband hunt together. Just go with her. That's her first argument. We'll see, it doesn't work. But then on a more serious side, we see the spiritual state of Naomi with her second attempt. And this is where I think it was Al Mohler in his commentary said, this shows the spiritual weakness of Naomi. Because along with peer pressure, the other thing that she tries to use to get Ruth to leave is false religion. So look what she says. See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to what? Her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. This is where we see the weakness, the spiritual weakness of Naomi. Naomi is so concerned that they have a husband that she doesn't care about anything else. She's so hung up on them being temporarily provided for that she is willing to send these two women back to worshiping a false god. Naomi's a Jew, remember? Naomi knows better. Naomi knows the one true and living God. Really? She should. And maybe she's forgotten. But she has no problem sending these two women back to Moab to worship a false god. But hey, they'd have a husband, right? Chemosh is the Moabite god. Let me give you just a couple of verses. This comes later in the history of Israel. In 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, we actually read this and talked about it on a Tuesday night not too long ago. When the king of Moab saw that the battle was going against him, he took with him 700 swordsmen to break through opposite the king of Edom, but they could not. Then he took his oldest son, who was to reign in his place, and offered him for a burnt offering on the wall. And there came great wrath against Israel, and they withdrew from him and returned to their own land. That's the religion of Moab. Child sacrifice. And this is what Naomi is willing to send these women back to. Back to worshiping a god, a false god that requires child sacrifice. This is what she resorts to. But Ruth does not give in. And in fact, when we come then to 16, 17, and 18, we see Ruth's counter to Naomi, who's willing to send Ruth back to a false god, to essentially damn Ruth to hell by her worship of a false god. But she'd have a husband. Long as you got everything, all the bills paid, everything's good, right? Sounds like the American way a little bit, doesn't it? Ruth's counter. Verse 16. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she, that is Ruth, was determined to go with her, she said no more. So Ruth's response is this amazing commitment to Naomi. Now remember, Naomi is willing to send her back to Moab to worship a false god simply because Naomi can't give her a husband. But Ruth, her commitment to Naomi is unwavering. And it is long term. Just look at what Ruth says. "Do not urge me to leave you or to return," there's our word again, "from following you. Where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge." Ruth is not simply committing to being a traveling companion for Naomi. Ruth makes this a long-term commitment. "Wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Wherever you land to live, Naomi, I am going to land there with you." And not only that, she even goes further. In verse 17, "Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried." And then she even calls a curse on herself. "May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." My commitment, Ruth says to Naomi, is such that I'm going wherever you're going. I'm going to stay wherever you are going to stay, and I'm going to stay until death. I'm not leaving you. This is a radical commitment that Ruth makes to Naomi. And we have to just pause here for just a moment and ask, why? What is the difference between Ruth and Orpah? Orpah is easily convinced to go back. Then she weeps. She laments the loss of the relationship with Naomi, but she's willing to leave. What is the difference between Ruth and Orpah? For that matter, what is the difference between Ruth and Naomi? Naomi's commitment to Ruth is negligible at best. She's willing to turn her over to the worship of a false god. But Ruth's commitment is this rock solid, beautiful commitment. What is the difference? What is the difference between Ruth and Orpah? What is the difference between Ruth and Naomi? The answer and the key to this text, as you've probably already discerned, comes at the end of verse 16. Ruth has already turned. Whether she has physically turned from Moab or not, she has already spiritually turned. Listen to what she says, or read it with me. "Your people shall be my people, and your God my God." That's the difference. Because Ruth has already turned. Ruth has nothing more to do with Chemosh. She is no longer interested in the worship of a false god. Somehow, in her time with Naomi and Elimelech, and with Mahlon or Chilion, whichever one she was married to, she came to some understanding of the one true and living God of Israel. And she says, I am not going back to that God, and I am not going back to those people. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Even though Naomi seems to have forgotten who her God is, Ruth did not. That's the difference between Ruth and Orpah. And that's the difference, frankly, between Ruth and Naomi. Ruth has this strong confession that your God is my God. She's already turned. She's already returned. She's already come back to the God who made her, the one true and living God. That's the difference. And that is the answer to Naomi's question that, bless her heart, Naomi never got. Naomi asked, why will you go with me? I can't get you a husband. And Orpah says, you know what? You make a good point, Naomi. You can't get me a husband. There's no reason for me to go with you. And Ruth says, no, I don't care if I have a husband or not. The reason that I'm going with you is because where you're going is where the one true and living God is. And if I have a husband or not is irrelevant. I'm going where the one true and living God is. So you ask me, Naomi, why will I go with you? Here's why I will go with you. Because your God will be my God. Your God is real. Your God is the one true and living God, and that's where I'm going. And it is my relationship with that God that informs my commitment to you. That's the difference. And that's the answer. Naomi never saw it. And Naomi, in her spiritual blindedness, could not see that there was some other reason for these women to go with her. All Naomi could see was, if I can't give you a husband, there's no other reason. Naomi missed the great grand reason that her God was the one true and living God. And Naomi, rather than pushing Orpah and Ruth away, should have been dragging these women with her back to Bethlehem, back to Judah, back to the worship of the one true and living God, back to Yahweh, away from, turning away from Chemosh and turning to Yahweh. That's what she should have been doing. But we see her poor spiritual quality. But what we see in Ruth is a pattern for living in the covenant. I mean, just think of the little peaks that you see of Jesus Christ in Ruth. How she counts others more significant than herself. Do you see that with Ruth? Ruth is not worried about whether she has a husband or not. You see nothing in the text of Ruth worrying about her provision or of Ruth being Ruth's concern is Naomi. Even though Naomi's not a very good mother. That's Christ in Philippians 2. You see the trust in God as another pattern. When Naomi is forced to make this decision, which way to turn, what principles does she follow? She turns toward God. She turns toward God's people. She turns toward God's principles. That's what she does when she's faced with this immense pressure from Naomi. Ruth turns toward God. You see the trust, again, this little peek into the life of Christ and the pattern that we live under the new covenant, trusting in God. You could stack up verse after verse after verse from the life of Christ. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. This is the pattern that Ruth sets for us, of how God's people in covenant with God live with Him. Even though this is under the old covenant, it is still turning toward God, turning toward God's people. So I want to close with the new setting, Naomi and Ruth. And I love the fact, too, that the narrator points out for us, when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Ruth wins. Naomi does not win. Ruth wins. She was determined. We could spend some time there, couldn't we? So they return then, starting in verse 19. The two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" And I want you to see the contrast. We'll close with this. Between Naomi and Ruth. Naomi said to them, "Do not call me Naomi." Anybody remember what Naomi means from last week? Pleasant. Don't call me pleasant. Call me Mara. Anybody know what that means, or just hit the link on your... means bitter. Remember the waters that were bitter in Exodus? Call me Mara. For the Lord Almighty, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? Now Naomi understands the sovereignty of God. I want you to see that. She doesn't talk about fate and chance. No, she says, "The Lord brought me back empty. The Lord has dealt bitterly with me." So you can understand the sovereignty of God and still be wrong. Y'all all right? Naomi understands the sovereignty of God, that He brought about all these things. But like Job's friends, she has the wrong view of God that says, if anything bad happens to me, it must be punishment for my sin. That's what she says. That's what the idea there. Why call me Naomi in verse 21? When the Lord has testified against me. That's the idea behind testified against me, is that God's not on my side. I went away full. I came back empty. The Lord brought me back in. God has not dealt well with me. God is against me, and I'm bitter about it. Naomi had a plan of life that God did not bring to pass. And because God did not bring it to pass, Naomi is bitter toward God and angry at God because He didn't do what she wanted. Y'all all right? That's why she's bitter. Because she had her plan and God didn't do it. And yet we're going to see, and you guys know the end of Ruth, God's plan is so much better. So much better. The line of the Messiah is going to come through this. But think about Ruth. Just contrast and we'll close. Does Ruth have some rosy situation that I'm not aware of? I don't think so. I think Ruth married a Jewish guy who died, and now Ruth is left with nothing. Ruth has moved from her home country, from her family, and she is a foreigner. Oh, by the way, a hated foreigner in another land, even though she's a proselyte, she's come to Judaism. So there's a sense in which her situation may actually be worse than Naomi's. And yet, she's not bitter. She's not angry. Same situations, two different responses. Why will you go with me, Ruth? Because your God is my God. That's why. Let's pray. Father, again, I pray that you would help us now to think deeply on this truth, this pattern for living in the covenant, this pattern of responding rightly to you, trusting you, this pattern of seeing that there are greater things than what the world can provide. Help us to respond more like Ruth, who looks a little bit like our Lord Jesus Christ. And less like Naomi, who we can have a tendency to respond in bitterness and be like her. Help us. Teach us what we need to learn now from this text. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, please?